with him.
Blog Talk Radio. Clara Gibson
and Rosie Wall,
and today in Expressions of Women's Lives, Happiness and Creativity, we are talking about creativity.
The very concept of creativity, ladies, the essence of what it's about, how it's good for you, and why you should give it a try, give it a whirl. You have already, no doubt, in many different ways, but today Clara's going to poke and prod me and see.
I am.
Ask lots of questions about creativity because she wants to know about it a bit more.
Yeah, well, I'm interested to find out whether Rosie's definitions of creativity coincide with mine. And so I think that's true also for a lot of women, because I think that when people are asked, you know, whether they're creative, there are many people who become very precious about what creativity is, and they think that, you know, you've got to be some sort of highly skilled sculptress or painter or draw, you know, life drawing.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally understand, and I want to demystify that.
Go on.
Just from a purely educational point of view.
Oh, go on. So you're going to be a teacher today.
Today I'm going to be a teacher, and I am actually going to set you some homework, all of you, today.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay. Well, so I hope you've
had
a
you might like gentlemen. It, or you might...
We might have gentlemen here.
We might have... Well, that would be interesting.
Yes,
okay.
I hope so.
The concept of creativity is... I'll quote this wonderful man in educative terms. He's referenced an awful lot. He's called Edward de Bono.
Oh, I know Edward de Bono.
Yeah, indeed. And he's got the, you know, the whole concept of the different thinking hats.
Yeah.
And one of his best quotes ever is, stand by, here it comes.
No, I'm waiting.
Creativity involves breaking out of established patterns in order to look at things in a different way.
Ah, oh, I like that. No,
That's all it is.
I work with that all the time.
Exactly.
I'm forever trying to get people to be... more creative, or break out of their boxes.
That's it, exactly. So there's nothing too mysterious about it. It becomes more mysterious when you start to delve into things that are perhaps you can't quite identify where the source has come from and so forth. But that's to do with thinking. We can talk about that a little later on.
Mm-hmm.
De Bono had this fantastic thing about thinking hats.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive me, those of you who know all about thinking hats, you'll have to just bear with me for a second. But basically, there are all these different coloured hats that we wear ourselves, like a blue coloured hat for processing, a white coloured hat for facts. Red is associated with feelings. We teach these to kids at school.
Ah.
Green,
what
however...
What are you colourblind?
Yeah, it's the concept. Thank you. Thank you, Claire.
You can always see that I was...
She's in one of those minutes today. I knew it the second I walked in.
I was one of the wise guys at school.
I've got the T-shirt on that says, call my agent, as it happens to go. But anyway, green is creativity.
Oh.
Yellow is benefits, how creativity can benefit you. And black is the caution, of course. So... linked to this,
but it could be amber. You see, if you go by the traffic lights,
indeed,
amber is caution.
Yes,
red is stop, not feelings. Green is go.
Yes,
which could be creativity.
This could be creativity, but this is de Bono. So we're going on de Bono.
De Bono.
Attached to this, and what we also know in educative terms, forgive me if you know this as well, are the seven types of intelligences. So what I'm suggesting to you wonderful ladies out there is you might have the creative type or personality aspect, but you haven't quite harnessed it yet. We've got lots of different types of brains. We've got linguistic, we've got reflective, mathematical, which I do not have, we've got logical, and then visual and spatial. But as you know, there's always that argument that men are better
at visual
and spatial because of parking or something, I don't know.
Well, no, it was the way that they play.
Oh, really?
I believe.
Oh,
yes, it was actually the way that they play But also, interestingly, there's another one who's not de Bono, who would talk about how children would play when they were really little. And boys would actually play very phallically and build towers and then knock them down. And girls would actually build bricks into circles. Which actually is more about the socialisation and the communication, because girls and boys typically communicate very differently.
As we well know.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, just going back to your original point, creativity, latest research has shown, because I've done lots and lots of research about creativity, creativity and happiness go hand in hand.
I would say that's true. Yeah, because Rosie here is expanding on her research and thoughts. So are you wanting to continue with your thoughts? And then I'm going to pick Rosie's brains differently. I'm going to be like the examiner and get her to throw her paper away, and then we debate fully. How about that?
I love a bit of improvisation.
I love improvisation too.
Yes.
I think I always get lost when I... It's really strange. If you write everything down, when I'm giving a speech, if I write everything down and I think I'm going to stick to the speech, if I forget where I thought I'd got to, then I really, really get lost and stuck. Whereas if I don't ever have the paper, but I just have an idea of the pathway of where I'm going, then I don't get lost.
It's ever. Like every single session on here, isn't it?
It is. We make it up as we go.
We meander.
We meander.
We can't help it if we're fantastic at it.
Yes.
Meandering
is a good thing to do. It's more creative.
It's more creative.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if I were to look at creativity just from my perspective, we've kind of tried to... I do want to demystify it, because it is something that the brain just does naturally. But I think in terms of society, there is a kind of fear associated to it, because it is mysterious. And it's really critical that you reach out and explore areas that you haven't explored before. I mean, you may find that you're doing something in your spare time, ladies and gentlemen, potentially out there, that is creative, that you can't quite confess to, or any kind of hobby, like, you know, pottery, or, you know, throwing sculptures, and they could think, well, this is the only sole thing in my life. When I step into this room, I feel truly fulfilled and truly happy, and yet something stops them from progressing their interest or evolving in that particular subject area. Well, one thing only makes that the situation, and that is because it can't or doesn't, in their view, help them earn money. So here we have the great argument, money versus creativity. And at school, I have the concept of education versus job. I'm permanently in a position of saying that to be educated, in my sphere of interest creatively, this is for the purposes of the advancement of the human mind, soul. It isn't for getting a job typing up some letters.
Yeah, but the national curriculum, I think, has actually taken people well away from...
We are...
Actually broadening the mind. I think it's about actually squeezing people down the narrowest little sausage machines that they fit into society, and keep the cogs of the economic wheels going.
Well, it's always been that way. It's always been that way. Creatives have always been perceived throughout the centuries as very odd. It's an esoteric, curious arrangement.
Self-indulgent.
Because they tend to have personalities that are expressive or hypersensitive, and it is associated to a lot of issues regarding mental health, inverted commas, around
these times. Yes, and it's interesting, having worked with lots of people with mental health issues, I would often say that they actually have quite frequently actually more realistic views about what's possible and what isn't. And It's, I think their discomfort is often the case of other people being uncomfortable with them rather than them being comfortable with where they are.
I love what you're saying, Clara. That's exactly right. I think there is a group of people, they may be creative or otherwise,
mm-hmm.
that feel being alive is really much more extreme than other people do. And as a consequence, it's like they are... stigmatized. And I have to say, in my sphere of education, I mention this again, through the creative curriculum, all that wonderful energy can be harnessed and focused. And it really is the most amazing subject for that.
Yeah.
And we're talking about, when people think of drama, for example, they just think, oh gosh, there's a studio, let's put glee on. This is not what I'm talking about here at all. Drama embodies philosophy, literature, art, history.
Uh-huh.
It enables and encourages people to be stronger communicators and to work on their interpersonal skills so that in life they might go on to read all those important signals that other people are putting out that everyone's so mystified about. It's about the development of the whole person. So to be creative is actually one of the most amazing states of human being.
Well, it's also about giving and receiving, isn't it, in many respects. You're actually receiving and sensitive to inputs around you, by and large, I would say. But although I do think that there are sort of variations, aren't there, as with all things. But I think that when people shut themselves off, so that they just keep going down the it's not even their allotted pathway. It's not even necessarily their chosen pathway. It may be the pathway they've found themselves on, and maybe actually their fear of what the difference might be in exploring their creativity is the difficulty, because I think the thing is that it's being open to the unknown about what might come through you.
Ah, now this is wonderful. I'm glad that you have touched upon this, because this is, as I call it, the mysterious section.
Mm.
There are some amazing theatre practitioners out there who are geniuses at harnessing those magical moments. Robert Wilson, for one, brilliant American theoretician and director. Those magical moments that creatives reach for in their moments of creating whatever it is, mm-hmm. either theatre or literature or art. Einstein talked about it. He talked about that being essential to the process of thought.
Yeah.
He said that these great attainments for humanity are also linked to this impossible and mysterious concept that we can't quite understand or grapple, because it's something that happens to us in the process of doing it. Do you remember last week?
And you move through it, don't you?
We talked last week about there are two states in theatre or drama: process, the process of something.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final product of something.
Oh, yeah.
And now life, everything, society, everyone is absorbed, obsessed with the final product of everything. Mm-hmm. You know, what qualifications do you have?
And that's often...
How fabulous are your children? How good is your house? Let's see those products. Let's see the final production outcome. But in theatre or drama, art, the process of getting to that product is where the art is.
Yes, and in a way, I mean, that sort of ties in very much with the earlier session we did on goals, where goals is seen as maybe the product.
Yes.
But actually, where you do the real learning and the what is really the creative part about it is actually the journey.
Yes.
And very often, I mean, people are so obsessed with the end result. you know, that actually they spend so much time looking somewhere else, and that rather than the here and now, they miss their journey. And so they miss all of that sort of like wonderful realizations and experiences on in their every moment of life that could enable them to go on to a much richer part of their journey.
I think the key word is richer there. You've
enriched. It's enriched.
And actually, we are talking about an enriched state of living, of consciousness.
Yes.
And putting aside all the complex aspects of being alive and, you know, having to drive to work, be at work, be occupied by the difficulties or challenges you're faced with your life, you are a being in on this earth experiencing a level of or degree of consciousness. In order to progress or evolve to the best version of yourself, which is something mm-hmm. Mara and I talk about all the time, it's really critical that you allow yourself that opportunity to be nourished, mm-hmm. supported, and enriched.
Yes, and also maybe to be unknowing as well. I think,
what do you mean by that?
By being open to not knowing, so that you can either go and find out or ask questions, so that you can find out how much more you might know, but even more how much you don't know. Because I think as it's quite interesting, quite a number of people with whom I talk, they say that as they get older, whilst they might think they know more, actually what they also realise so much more is that they know less and less, because they realise there's so much more to know. In contrast to young adolescents who actually think that they know it all, and that their parents are profoundly ignorant.
Yes, I think this is an interesting concept. I was reading up about introverts and extroverts linked to this stage of life development thing, and though I came across this wonderful quote, and it said, well, I can't remember what the quote was now, I wish I'd written it down. It was that the more wise or knowing you become, the more silent you become.
Yes,
the
well,
more
Taoist.
The more reflective you become.
That's Taoist.
Yes,
no, Taoists would actually say, you know, that he who knows, or he or she who knows much, says little, and he or she who knows little says much.
Oh, Clara, I love it. That's going to be on my next T-shirt.
And depending upon what state of mind they catch us on, we could be knowing lots or nothing at all.
Well, I think, look, the concept of thinking and consciousness has always been a fascinating one. And I think to harness elements of the currently unknown, the currently unexplored through some kind of creative venture is only going to be a good thing. You'll meet creative, like-minded souls as well, and they're always fascinating. They're lovely people. I do recommend it, ladies. So do come along to the Astor Theatre on the 26th of September. Yay!
Yay!
Clara and I will be there doing creative women thing.
Yes, and you can come and join our radio programme, because we will be doing our next episode there.
Yeah,
and so we will be having. You can come and join in the fun. But so right, I want. So now, okay. So tell me, what are the tips that you have for helping women to discover? Maybe it's not even necessarily their creativity, but actually helping them en route to doing that.
Well, I'll answer that now, Clara.
Now, is this one that you made earlier?
Here's something I prepared earlier.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to... I'm an intellectual magpie. So I steal from lots of different people that I meet on my journey of life. And I once had a colleague called Barbara Lamb. I was supposed to be her boss, but she was always the boss of me. And she introduced me to dream boarding.
Okay.
So, Barbara, this is mm-hmm. for you, completely dedicated to you. She's a fellow drama practitioner. And dream boarding, if you don't know of it out there, everybody, is a concept by where you collect images, words, or anything that you can find in books or literature or references that you're attracted to, and you cut all the images or words out and you put them on one special place. Could be a board or the back of your door or the back of your wardrobe. And you make a collection, not all at once necessarily, but accumulatively, of images you would like to see be born, happen, become in your life. So that's my homework this week.
Oh, for people to go creating. So I'd like to hear about some of your dream boards then, please.
Oh, gosh. Well, I have to say, I've done two very serious dream boards in my past.
Oh, right. Now, at that point, now, can I just interject?
Yes.
Because I'm aware of people who really do make big things about doing dream boards, and they do them all the time, and they do them every year, and, you know, and I must say I've done a couple of these workshops, and what I find difficult is that actually I don't like to feel sort of prescribed by the images that I see. If I could, maybe if I had had, if I had Photoshop and I had the skills to then play with the images to actually make them more mine.
Oh, yes, like an artistic creative director.
Yes, but actually sort of like morphing things.
Hello, Emma, for you out there, you do this all the time. You could do that on some kind of computer program.
But I'm sure that's true. But I actually find, you know, and because what I always find very interesting.
I know, you get those stray things of someone making a yogurt or baking a cake.
Oh, and some of it, you know, it's
just cheese on toast, isn't it?
Tame.
I know.
It's tame. And
what we're doing is it's just snapshots of vague symbolic representation.
Yeah.
For example, I cut out lots. You asked me the question about my dream board. I cut out in this particular year. I cut out a sequence of properties. I kid you not.
Oh right. Did you go and buy them all?
And then I went and virtually bought them all.
Oh
but,
right.
I think I didn't know at the time that that was the direction I was going in.
Oh right. Okay.
I just thought, oh, I'm so crazy in love with the concept of interiors, of restyling, of homes having their own souls and spirits and so forth.
Yeah.
That I'm going to stick all the images, I think there were probably about 8 of them, on my dream board. And lo and behold, within 6 months, I had made a decision to change my life regarding my properties.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one thing. And also relationships as well.
You change a man.
Oh, my gosh. I had a...
Can I just ask her?
Yes.
This is being fairly mischievous.
Impish, Clara. Impish.
No, I'm sort of intrigued, you know, sort of. So you could be in a... I'm being very hypothetical here.
Yeah.
Okay. So at the beginning of the year, or at the end of 1 year, you're maybe doing your dream board, your vision board for the next year.
Yes.
And you could be in a relationship at that point in time. And
he's dark and you put up someone's blonde.
You know, or somebody 6 inches taller, or somebody, you know, who's... Do you know what I mean? I'm just sort of intrigued as to actually whether...
Yeah, that's a good one. I think you might have to hide that one from your partner, because they would work that out.
Yeah.
I have to say, I had conjured one particular image. I cut one out of a beautiful, beautiful man. He was completely buff on top.
Okay.
Do I mean buff? I mean naked.
Buff?
Naked,
yes, naked
on top, but wearing a tartan skirt kilt on the bottom.
Okay.
And he had the most spectacular looking back, you know. And
oh,
I thought, well, I've no idea what that means. It was a man walking through nature wearing a tartan kilt. And all I could see was the back of his head.
And was the kilt
swaying? No, it wasn't, because it was a photograph.
It was a very... No, but it was their movement. Could you see?
I don't know.
Yeah, okay. No.
So then, sure enough, I think probably within about 3 months or so, I did in fact meet a extremely well-proportioned individual.
Who wore kilt?
No, but
Scottish accent.
He was working in my back garden at one point.
But he just arrived.
No, he didn't. And lo and behold, he was working in the back garden, and I had my dream board up by the back door, and I noticed by some miraculous, really weird thing that this house I hadn't bought at the point that I had done my dream board,
mm-hmm.
I'd inherited these tartan curtains.
Oh, wow.
OMG.
Yeah.
So as I looked through the window, I just suddenly made the connection between the tartan curtains
and
this man in the garden.
Yeah.
Heavens to Betsy.
Oh, right. So did anything else happen?
There are a couple of little things. But what I'm trying to say, obviously, this sounds a little bit kooky. And Clara is being impish and prodding me unmercifully. What the dream board does, she clears her throat, ready for the riposte, is it's simply hoping.
Oh, indeed. No, I don't disagree with that at all.
And then mathematically, by the laws of probability, your brain and your activities...
You start looking for things.
Exactly.
It's another way of, I mean, for some people who are visual... It's actually very, very important. I think it would be very interesting to see the variety of ways that maybe people could create soundboards, perhaps.
Oh, yes, I like
you
that
know,
idea.
Because there may be ways that people could sort of morph music together or sounds together. It might be, you know, I mean, somebody who's living in some very...
Well, that's
hectic, manic, urban space, you know, and the only thing you can hear is cars whizzing by and the odd siren or whatever. And really what somebody wants is to hear running water and they get the water running together, you know, running water and bird song and, you know, peace. And by listening to that, it may actually get them changing their focus.
I love that idea. And actually, that is a way of the future. If you think about the virtual gaming world, that's what people are actually going into. They're escaping their current reality for a kind of dream world. I mean, I hasten to say I detest gaming of all kinds, especially the aggressive types. But I can see the merit in beautiful generated imagery for the future. Imagine holographic situations where, I mean, there's no end where creativity can go in the future. It's so exciting.
But also, I think the fabulous thing about creativity is that it actually opens the mind and it has, by and large, a very relaxing impact on people's health and their well-being. Although there will be those who actually, for instance, I mean, I know a number of artists who find that they can get so pulled into their art that they can almost suffer with it as they're creating their
creativity. There is an association of art being attached to the process of suffering, or from suffering is born some kind of art that can certainly be linchpins or catalysts for the creation of something.
Yeah.
And actually, I would say, if you find those periods of life where you have strife or struggle or difficulty, do turn to the arts. Do write it down. Be creative.
Yeah.
I was going to touch on The Artist's Way, which is
a seminal book
about getting into the habitual behaviour regarding writing.
Mm-hmm.
Barbara, this one's to you as well, because you inspired me on that one. I think you loaned it to me and then you insisted on getting it back.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, this book is wonderful because it does encourage you to write everything down as part of a daily or ritualized process.
And also journaling is a very good thing. So even
wonderful.
If that's, yes, journaling and gratitude. I mean, the more that people express gratitude for wherever they are. So I'm so pleased to be doing this. I thank the universe.
I thank the universe for Clara Gibson.
I thank the universe for Rosie and for actually doing this lovely but fun set of programs.
It really has been fun.
It's good fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
So our next programme, as we say, we will be doing from the midst of Creative Women.
Right at the After Theatre is our next live show.
It will be live and you can come and take part.
Yes, we'd love your voice.
And we can also explore how you have developed your creativity during the day and what it has meant to you to be part of that day, how different you feel from beginning it to the end of it, and how you're going to take it forward.
Don't forget your homework, ladies and gents.
Do your vision board, your dream board. So we're going to say thank you so much.
Farewell.
Farewell. And have the most beautiful fortnight, because the next week we are preparing for the following Monday. So with lots of love, bye-bye.
Goodbye. Bye, ladies.